I hope everyone had a nice Thanksgiving, this being the Thanksgiving weekend. And there's something that I want to speak about this morning with regard to what I think we should be thankful for, and that is the power and the immensity of God. We live in a world that is dominated and obsessed with power and control. We see it everywhere. We think about military power, about political power, economic power. In the sports world, it's powerful that you need to be offensive power, defensive power. We have power lifters and power drinks. In the automotive world, it's horsepower that counts. Electrical power, the grid system in America is important. It's a power source. Some time back, there was even a toothpaste ad that talked about pucker power. Nuclear power is a big thing in the news today. Power, buying power, all kinds of power. We are a culture and a people that are impressed by power. However, all of these various forms of power pale when it comes to the power and the immensity of our God. On this Thanksgiving weekend, we are celebrating various things that are part and parcel to our Thanksgiving celebration, things that we are grateful for. But I want to add this one thing, and that is to be thankful for the power and the immensity of our God. The first notes in Scripture begin by showing that God is all-powerful. Just the very statement, "In the beginning God created," is in itself a powerful statement. He didn't make the world, He created the world. It is something from nothing that He created. It is a power that we do not have, nor can we comprehend or understand, the ability to take and make something literally out of, or to create something, not make it, but to create something out of nothing. It's from another realm. It's a realm unknown to man. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. And the title by which God was known at that time when man first came on the scene, He was known as the Almighty. Moses was finally given the name of God, which was Jehovah, or I Am That I Am. But up until that time, Abraham and all the patriarchs, they only knew God as the Almighty. The first book of Job uses that term 31 different times. It refers to God as the Almighty, Job being the first book, of course, that was actually written down. And it's testimony to the fact that man's concept of God at that point was a person who was all-powerful. The name Almighty in Hebrew is El Shaddai, and comes from a word that means the powerful one, the mighty one who is self-sufficient, strong, and unchangeable. And its root word that El Shaddai comes from means powerful, but it also means some other things. It means to be burly. Have you ever thought of God as being burly? The root word of El Shaddai means burly. It also means to ravage. It means to be violent, to lay waste. And so you see this powerful being that exists is not only one of contriteness and humbleness and mercy, but He is also burly and can be ravaged and be violent or to lay waste. Now, in the scripture that Dave read, we see there in that last verse or so that power belongs to God. And in that scripture, that word there that is translated power is actually more in the realm of strength. And this is not unimportant because it throws light on the nature of God's power. Power and authority differ vastly. When used by man, power may mean nothing more than authority. I may find myself with all authority, but lack the power to accomplish the task. On the other hand, I may have the strength and power, but no authority to act without finding myself in deep trouble. God's power is not so. It is not bound as man's power may be bound by authority. The scripture speaks of God's power as being ordinate power. What is ordinate? Ordinate is a math term. Right, Abigail? What does ordinate mean? Well, in math, if you will remember your basic math, if you have an axis where you have a y-axis and an x-axis, and you put your numbers on this, and it's where these numbers meet, that's called the ordinate. It's a coordination that you come to a certain point. And that's how God's power is. It's ordinate power. It coordinates two different things. And it comes to only one point, and it has to do with God's power being correlated with something else. It's correlated with two different things. One is correlated to his will, and the other thing is it correlates to is his plan and his purpose for the ages. And it is unfettered by anything or anyone else. It simply comes down to his will. He has all authority, all power, his will based on what his purpose and plan might be. An example of that is found in the book of Matthew. If you'll turn in Matthew to chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And the scene here is in the garden where one of the disciples grabs a sword and cuts the ear off of one of the soldiers there. And we start at verse 53. Now this disciple jumped up and he was trying to defend Jesus. And here's what Jesus said after he lops this guy's ears off. He says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" You see, he had the power and he had the authority, but it was not based on his will. He knew that he had to go to the cross. And so he had a restraint. This was ordinate power based on his will and his purpose and plan. Now, the philosophers, they sit around and they try to figure out things that God can't do. They try to put God in a corner by saying, well, God can God do this or can God do that? But if you're guided by Scripture, you don't question what God can do. You know that God has the power and authority to do anything that He so chooses. But you don't need to attempt to answer that question, what can God do this or can God do that? Because He operates, if you understand Scripture, He operates according to His good pleasure and His will. And His plan and purpose is where it revolves around. There's a lot of scriptures that back this up, and I want to look at some of them here this morning. In these scriptures, we shall find that the power of God is infinite, it's incomparable, it's directed by wisdom and by righteousness, and that it knows no failure or falling. It's successful every time. And so we begin with the book of Job, page 712, Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. Just a couple of verses there. Verse 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear Him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. Here we see power supreme, righteousness abundant. You cannot touch it. You can't understand it. You can't comprehend it because it's supernatural. In that same book, chapter 40 of Isaiah, excuse me, I told you wrong. You got to jump over to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. Page 981, Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For He is strong in power. Not one faileth. So He is eminent in power and strength. There is none like Him, none to compare Him. To Him in this power area. Look at verse 28 of that same chapter. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So here is power that He can even share if He so chooses. Chapter 44 of Isaiah. Chapter 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord, and maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. He answers to no one. He has no need for authority. He is totally powerful, totally authoritatively capable of doing all things. Chapter 46 of Isaiah. Trying to get some of these verses all in the same place there. They're all over the scripture with regard to his power. Look at Isaiah 46. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's what he is capable of. No outside influence, totally able to do these things on his own. Jump over to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 1. Page 1664. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's speaking here of those who do not believe. The works of creation provide an exhibition of the power of God so that the heathen are without excuse. It's so magnificent and large in size when you look at the universe and you look at the world and all the stars. You have to sit back and wonder and realize, and therefore you are without excuse to think that there's not something bigger than we are behind all this. In Ephesians chapter 1, page 1761, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Jump down to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Over and over and over again in scriptures, there's numerous verses that declare his independence in his exercise of power and how great it is. And another noticeable feature, I won't have you go back, but in Psalms, in the 33rd chapter of Psalms, there's another noticeable thing about his power, and that is that he does it with such ease. Psalms 33:9 says, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Just simple as that. That separates the men from the boys, I guess, when you speak about power. Now, our salvation and hope resides in this power. Power, as it relates to redemption and our salvation, is a wonderful theme. And I'm not going to have you look all of these up, but let me just read a few of these. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. 1 Corinthians 1:18, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God that saves us. Romans 1, verses 4 and 16, resurrection is by his power. Ephesians 1:19, which we just read, the greatness of his power to those who believe. 2 Corinthians 13:4, we shall live with him by the power of God. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Matthew 24:30, he is coming with power and greatness. Now, a final word is with regard to his immensity. What does something immense, what is something immense? What does it mean? It is something that is so great that it defies or is incapable of measurement. And that's what God is, his immensity, his power and his immensity. His immensity baffles human speech to describe and a human mind to conceive or understand. Turn, if you will, back to Psalms 139, page 855. Psalms 139. And in this psalm, we begin to see some of the immensity of God. Just we'll read some of this psalm, in beginning with verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being in unperfect. And in thy books all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Here we begin to see the immensity of God. Here we see that he is everywhere. And how can that be? We can't comprehend it. Why? Because it's not just power as we think of it. It's spiritual power. It's a realm that we cannot comprehend. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, and not merely by his presence, but also by time. Turn to Isaiah chapter 57, page 1003. Isaiah chapter 57. In that 57th chapter, look at verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. back up in that verse, the one that inhabiteth eternity. How do you inhabit eternity? It's so immense that you can't even comprehend how that can be. And yet we find in this one not only this power with regard to size and plan and purpose, but it speaks of this same one as being humble and contrite and merciful to us. This Thanksgiving, I think that we should be, this is one of the things that we should be grateful for. This God that we have been talking about is our God. I think we should be thankful for His power and His immensity. There's one more reason for us to be thankful throughout all our lives as we look forward to the day of His appearing and to thanksgivings that are to come. I have one final verse that I would like for you to take a look at before we close, and that is found in the book of Revelation in chapter 11. And I think it's a verse that speaks to what we have been talking about. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 17. We give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your power. And yet we're grateful that you are humble and contrite and merciful and righteous and just, and that you've provided a way for us to one day have this power passed on to us. The salvation that we have comes through your power. We grant that each of us would continue to study your word, to grow and to learn more about your power and your immensity. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.